Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said when a friend makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. We're happy to have this privilege of Bible study today. We're glad you're listening to Bible Meditations. In the 20th chapter of the book of John, Mary Magdalene came very early in the morning on the resurrection day, only to find the stone rolled away from the sepulchre and to find that the Master was not there. She said unto Peter and to John, "They've taken away my Lord." We've been using that expression not with reference to the physical body of Jesus, but with reference to the removal of Jesus in a number of ways from our world. The Lord has all authority in heaven and on earth, but they've taken away my Lord when it comes to authority. I see people practicing things without any Bible authority. They turn away from Bible authority to the doctrines and the commandments of men. And in essence, we can say, they've taken away my Lord, and they're not following what the Lord has instructed. We were looking yesterday at John 4 and verse 24, when Jesus told the woman at the well, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." To worship God in truth means we worship according to his word. What we do in our worship must be authorized by the Lord. And what we do in our worship must come from the heart. That means it is in spirit, because we're thinking about what we're saying and offering that sincerely to our Father in heaven. And yet, the idea of worshiping God in spirit and in truth sometimes has been neglected. We look at the worship that is conducted by some religious people today, and they're more concerned, evidently, with putting on a show, or doing something that's fun, or doing something that will be spectacular and people will comment about, than they are just humbly and simply worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There are a lot of things that people might do that would attract attention, but that isn't what we're trying to do with our worship. Worship is homage paid to our God. God is the spectator, not those around about us. So when someone says we're going to worship, and they put on some sort of a program that causes people to leave the building saying, "My, that was beautiful," that's not what we're trying to attain as far as worship is concerned. Worship is humbly and reverently following God's instruction in doing the things that he has told us to do. Well, obviously, they've taken away my Lord. Also, the Lord has been removed from our homes. The home is a place where the Lord ought to be the center, the focus. When people decide to get married and to formulate a new home, it ought to be with the idea in mind that God is the head of that home, that the teachings of Christ will be the teachings that govern the activity in that particular home. We're living in a world where marriage has been handled very lightly. One out of every two marriages in the United States of America will end up in the divorce courts of our land. Among so-called civilized nations in the world, the United States of America leads in the number of divorces. What a sad situation, and what a sad commentary on the marriage relationship as many Americans conceive it to be. Why should this not be a nation where people, when they get married, recognize the Lord as a part of that marriage? Frequently in conducting weddings for young people as they come together and pledge their love to each other, I remind those young people that God designed the marriage to be a three-way situation: a husband, a wife, and God. God is certainly a part of that marriage relationship, and it cannot be what it ought to be and will not bring the happiness that it ought to bring if God is not a part of it. Taking the Lord away from the home is certainly a very discouraging thing. God designed in the very beginning one man and one woman, and they were married to each other throughout their lifetime. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus makes reference to that, and he said, "He that made them in the beginning made them male and female." I think there's significance, and you can see that clearly, in the fact that God did not make male and male, or female and female. God made male and female, and they became one in the garden. The Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." In the United States of America, there was a day when marriage was considered so sacred that people just simply would not think of living together, that is, most of them would not, without being married. But today we're being told this is perfectly acceptable. And so people are living together and enjoying the pleasures that have to do with married life, and at the same time are not committing themselves in love to each other in the marriage relationship. I can almost hear someone say, "Preacher, there's nothing but a piece of paper to a marriage license." Well, you may call it just a piece of paper, but my friends, it is a commitment, and a commitment that God intends for us to have in order for him to recognize that marriage relationship. In Matthew 19, Jesus discusses marriage and talks about the severing of that relationship. He points out very clearly, "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Does that sound like God wanted our marriages to last for a while, and then if we don't want them anymore, to sever those relationships? Obviously not. Christ has been removed. The Word of God has been removed from the home, and people are no longer committing themselves to that particular idea of staying with that companion. Now, you look at a person who gets married and discovers that that ideal person they thought could never do anything wrong, they finally discover they can do something wrong. What's the answer to it? Well, get a divorce. No, that's not the answer. That's a solution that people have come up with because they've taken the Lord out of the picture. They've taken away my Lord, and they don't recognize the necessity of working out problems that come during life. You know, years ago, and it ought to be this way today, when a person gets married, he is committed to keeping that marriage intact. Today, it seems, some have the idea that it's not something to be preserved, but if it's not convenient for us, we simply get a divorce. Well, this is evidence that the Lord has been removed from our homes. We do appreciate very much the opportunity of talking with you today. I hope you'll listen again tomorrow. And remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.